How many people brought your Bibles? Amen. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. At the close of the service, we will be receiving our morning tithe and offering, but I'd like to preach this first, if you don't mind. Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah and Deuteronomy are probably the two most Old Testament books quoted in the New Testament. Isaiah was a major prophet of God. And it was in four decades of prophetic utterances to the house of Israel in his day and time. Powerful man of God. They have the minor prophets and the major prophets. Ezekiel, it was a major prophet, and so was Isaiah. And I thought about what I would minister this morning. Let me just say this. When we had an opening question and answer, I kind of committed to come here once a month if I could. And so I'm going to try to make it at least once a month. I might miss it maybe a week or two because of my schedule, because I'm booked years in advance. But I want to try to get on the docket if Pastor Nathaniel let me. Praise the Lord. It'd be a blessing. I'll come in, and I thank you all for coming. How many of you watch me on television? Let me ask that. You should watch me. It costs me millions of dollars. You'd be surprised. I mean, you know, it may be free to you or through your cable outlet, but it isn't free to us at all. And that's all right, because the gospel, if something's good, it's worth paying for. It really is. It's just such a blessing. I thought I'd ask the Lord what I would minister on this morning. And I try to get into a teaching mode more, a teaching preaching mode. When I'm here at Covenant Church, usually when I'm on the road, I'm more of a preacher evangelist, because I'm throwing that net out there strong, you know, and things of that nature to get people into the kingdom. But here I've learned that we must grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That we should be grow daily instead of Sunday. And the only way you do that is through the word of the living God. So the title of my sermon is, hey, I can do that. I changed it and I said, hey, I can do that. See, there's a command from God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to do something. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Hey, I can do that. Learn to do well. I want you to underline that in your Bible. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. When I read that, I was reading Isaiah, that learn to do well went off in my spirit. Learn to do well. Now, the word of God in 2 Timothy 3:17 says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Learn to do well. Hey, I can do that. You could call it the road to success, if you want to call it in that manner. Or getting God's attention when we learn to do well. You see, and I made up my mind that I love baby Christians, and I love my daughter when she was a baby, but it was exciting to see her get married walking down that aisle. It was just something about it as a full-grown adult. And last night we had our grandbaby with us, and she spent the night. And Kathy was in her bathroom, and all of a sudden, she just come jump in the bed where I was and just wanted to hug me. Love you, grandfather. Now, she's 4 years old. And I thought, bless God, I got Jody back in a different form. Yeah, it was a wonderful time for me. And then she said, where's Mimi? I said, she's in the closet. Let's go get her. I said, okay, let's go get her. And she wanted to go to the front and watch a little television, eat something or whatever for breakfast. It was a blessing. And even though she's wonderful as a child, I want her to grow up. And I've asked the Lord for many more years that I might see her child. Because you see, when Meredith was born, I never was grand until she was born. She made me grand. I think I owe her something. Now, her child will make me great. Now, you think about that. Jody made me a father, her daughter made me a grandfather, and her child, Meredith's child, will make me a great grandfather. That's good. So my future is very bright. Amen. Going from father to grand to great, Lord, geez, if I could just get Kathy to believe that, it would be wonderful. She ought to call me great and grand. Praise the Lord. Somebody help me out. Come on, ladies, give me a break, will you? It's Father's Day. Come on, men, y'all could have said, y'all ain't getting in trouble. I can see that. I ain't saying nothing. You're on your own. He said, learn to do well. I have endeavored to do that in my life so that God might be glorified. And I want to do a little teaching on this. And write this down. Learning to do well teaches the art of life. You see, because if you just stay stationary, you don't become very much in life. Learning is something that people really enjoy. We call it education. It's wonderful to be educated. Think about that. They may be able to, you might lose your job, might lose everything, but it can never take away your education. Because you see, it's in you forever. So learning to do well teaches the art of life. You see, man, the species called man, is defined as a being who learns. What's the difference between us and animals? Animals are moved by instinct. Notice what we do, we have to learn everything, but we never stop learning. An animal or a creature is moved by instinct to do certain things, even as a baby. And then it may learn to hunt, but it gets to a certain place and stops. But man is ever increasing because he's made in the image of God. And what I mean by mankind, the human race. Man is the being that you could define who learns. Learns what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. And when the Lord said, learn to do well, that really ministered to me. Because you see, I'm not in the ministry by instinct. When I move in the gifts of the Spirit, it's not by instinct. It's learning to hear the voice of God. Learning to manifest what he says in his word on a daily basis. If he says, I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, I have to learn to produce that. I have to learn to minister in that area. Now, God spoke this in the Old Testament, brought it over into the New Testament. God expected us to grow to the fullness of the stature of who he is. Now, you might have somebody who you really esteem high in the faith, and that's wonderful. But there's someone much higher than that person. And that's Jesus Christ himself. And God said you had the ability. He said, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. Now, you know, you've heard people say this. You know, he acts just like his daddy. Or she acts just like her mama. Well, see, she learned to do that. It wasn't an instinct, see, like an animal. You have to learn. You have to teach children certain things so that they learn to do what God wants them to do, as well as become a great citizen or a responsible citizen in their community. So man is defined as a being who learns. Now, I want you to write this down. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only. Let me say it again. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance. Hey, I can do that. How do I learn to do well? Well, first you have to pay attention. How do you become educated in school? By paying attention. Then after you understand, you add attention, diligence is required and perseverance. Because you got to push through. Because you see, somebody may teach you something, but when they teach you something, you have to take it to the greater degree in every area of your life. You see what I'm saying? You determine how far you go in math. If they teach you 2 + 2 = 4, that's great. But there's something else going on. Then they'll teach you the timetables, division, and then multiplication, and all this different stuff. Before you know, you're getting into algebra and geometry and advanced math and calculus and whatever. But you take it to the next degree. Because every person I know that's been taught math, for example, like Einstein, he took it to the next degree. Everyone has a responsibility to take it as high as they can take it. And you do that through attention. Write it down. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance. When I went into the ministry, I had to learn to do some things. I had to learn to submit to authority, not to control. You see, I didn't realize, I never thought that Christians would try to control you, but they do. Especially in the fivefold ministry. They want me. I never forget. Kathy used to think I was lying to her. I'd have people come up to the pastor and say, listen, I want you to come preach. Give us a couple of words of knowledge, a couple of healings. Get one or two saved and bless God. But, and, you know, work. I said, excuse me. That's God that does those things. Yeah. But you're moving against the spirit. Give me a couple of words of knowledge. Maybe a word of prophecy. And Kathy said, they ain't saying that. I said, I'm telling you, Kathy. They say that to me all the time. Because they thought that this was, you just do this. No, you don't do this. This is God ordained. Well, one day, Kathy, somebody called her or whatever. She got on the phone with a pastor wanted me to do something extra, I think it was, to do an extra service or something. And she said, and he told her, listen, all I want is a couple of words of knowledge, a little prophecy, a couple of healings or two, and that'll really energize the church. And she went, Jesse told the truth. Well, I wasn't lying. You see, but people want you to perform. You see what I'm saying? You can't perform. See, that's what I love about worship. It's not performance. You know when people start performing. But my God, you can worship God in the wrong key. I mean, I hear that all the time from Kathy. When she sings, it's in the wrong key. But she worshiping God. One time I snuck up behind her. I have a chapel in my home. I built a special room for God to reside. It's my chapel. You ought to see. It's got pews in it that are over 200 years old. Got them out of Scotland in England. Yeah, it's in my home. It's a beautiful thing. You ought to see that. And one time I snuck in there, and that was Kathy, and she was praying. And I was right behind her. She didn't know I snuck in there. And she started singing. I went, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh. But I didn't say nothing. I just held my breath. And she sang out of key. But it was wonderful in the sight of God because the anointing was in there. She brought the anointing down. And then she got up and turned around and went, oh, she thought I was God. Okay, I tried. You know what I'm saying? But I noticed that what she did, she was paying attention to what the Lord was speaking to her. So knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance. People say, how do you learn to play music? You have to pay attention. In anything you do, you must pay attention. You don't come to church to critique a minister. You don't come to church, only go to church to the guest speakers you like. You see, you have to pay attention on a daily basis instead of a Sunday basis. I find out when people do things for me, I expect them to pay attention. When we're flying, I expect them when we're over the ocean to pay attention. Because I know we ain't no place to land. So when we fly off the west coast of the United States, going to Australia or going to Hawaii or whatever, do preaching all over, I know for quite a few hours out there over that ocean, if anything goes wrong, we're going swimming. It's like I heard a joke one time. I thought it was so funny. This man said, God, can you please help me to understand women? And God said, why you ask me such a thing? Well, I'm struggling with women. You know, my wife. I said, I can't do that, man. Can you help me? He said, why do you want to? He said, well, listen. He says, I want to take my wife to Hawaii. And she's afraid to fly. Well, you can't get to Hawaii unless you're in a ship or an airplane. You can't do it in a car. I don't care how fast it is. You're going to go on a ship or you're going to go on an airplane, one or the other. And he said, if I understand, I hope I get this joke correctly. He said, to make a long story short, he said, could you build me a road from Los Angeles to Honolulu? Or, okay, forget it, Lord. You don't have to build it. Just teach me to understand women. And the Lord said, would you like a 4-lane or a 2-lane highway? You got the revelation? You understand what I'm saying? Pay attention. You want a 4-lane or 2-lane highway? Because because women change every day. And that's good because men get stale. You know what I mean? They just get stale. So I think women is what keeps things alive. It keeps the man jumping. How much did she charge today? You know, it keeps you thinking. Oh, no, you know, it keeps you moving and running. So when you have knowledge, you have to get knowledge, power, and skill. You only get it through attention, diligence, and perseverance. You persevere to do what God tells you to do. You see, we should seek more for an inward vision. Say that again. Let me say it again. We should seek for more inward vision, receptivity, and responsiveness. See, I'm always looking inside at where I am in every area of my life, spiritually, physically, and financially. I look for my inward vision, then my response to that inward vision. Because sometimes God gives you something and you tend to forget it. You didn't do it on purpose. Because then you got to learn to do well. How do I do this better? When I signed those contracts for the contracts for television, the different things that we had, am I doing this right? The finances that you send to this ministry, all my partners all over the world, I'm very careful that I do not waste a nickel or a dime of it. I'm very careful. I pay attention to that because people work very hard for their finance and it should be invested properly for His glory and for His honor. So we should seek for more inward vision, receptivity, and responsiveness. So I'm saying, Lord, build this bigger inside of me. Or I can do this better. I want to learn to do well. So at the end of my life, if you tarry, that I can say I fought a good fight. I finished the course. and I kept the faith. And I believe this with every fiber of my being. If Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave, I will have done everything God has wanted me to do. I have designed my life toward that, but it takes response on that. It takes an inward vision. It ain't just going to preach a service. It ain't just going get on another television station, get another airplane, buy another truck, build another building, have more people come and count numbers. It ain't got anything to do with that. It has to complete that destiny and reach that destination. In other words, God is not interested in unfinished products. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? He's interested in you finishing the course. Jesus said this. And Jesus said that, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was finished. He said, it is finished. Now watch it. It was finished on his part. But the inward vision was produced in the disciples, because in Acts chapter 1, he said, O Theophilus, the things that Jesus began to do. Yeah, Jesus finished his part. Now they begin. Now, see, if you're in ministry or if you're a Christian, you have a responsibility to that kingdom promise. Now, let me do a little teaching and preaching first. I get funny after a while. When you understand what I'm saying here, you have to be responsive to that inward vision. What has God called you to do? And let me tell you something. Everyone has a calling, not necessarily an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's like one guy said, I mean, I'm a prophet. I can prophesy. Well, people can prophesy, but they don't make you a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you can get somebody saved, but that doesn't make you an evangelist. There's a vast difference in that. You understand what I'm saying? It's a gift from God. All gifts are good from God, but they must be produced to the fullest. I don't want to say I didn't finish my course. You see, and the way to finish a course is one word, obedience. And sometimes obedience is hard. To obey sometimes is not easy, because it goes completely against the natural character of an individual because of your free will. God gives you a choice. I never forget the day the Lord asked me, how long you want to live? Well, I never thought about it. He said, well, you might ought to, because death and life's in the power of your tongue. How long you want to live, Jesse? And I thought, well, I don't know. Well, you better find out, because you can accidentally lose your life if you don't know where you're going. You got to have something around you. What do you want to do? And I got that revelation on that first airplane crash, how long I wanted to live. Because see, the devil took me out as a young man. Do you understand? You don't understand my ministry. I've been shot at. I've been knifed, not, thank God they didn't hit me. I mean, tried to knife me. I've had them put 220 volts of electricity on my microphone that if I touch it, it would electrocute me. I've had so many different things that have happened to me in my ministry because somebody got mad about something. See, when you're on television, let me tell you something. You call it fame, it ain't nice. There's always somebody wanting to do something somewhere, somehow, something. There's some crazies in this world. So I told the Lord, I said, you said with long life, will you satisfy me? I found that scripture. And show me my soundness or your soundness. So I have not picked a year, but I know what long life is. And I thought when I was 25 that 40 was old. I made a mistake. 40 ain't nothing. Now, in a very few weeks, I'll be 63 years old. And I remember when people said they were 62. I said, they can draw Social Security. They're going to have to retire. How can they walk? Certainly. I mean, I couldn't believe that. But then I realized, I got it this morning. I said, well, I don't know what that feels like. What does that mean? Well, I can still walk, do anything I want to do. In fact, I had a man one time I was talking to him, and he's 84 years old. Now, he's not married, you know, but he says, if you see any nice women out there, let me know. Now, I'm going to be honest, I'm not 84. That's a long way away. And I looked, I said, I called him Pop. I said, Pop, you mean you still got those things pulling on you? You're not finished with all that yet? He said, you had to talk to somebody else. And I went, okay. Now, in my mind right now, I don't think a man at 84 years old would be thinking like that. But he was. I had a 73-year-old grandma throw me in a closet and told me, I want a man. I said, open up the door. It ain't me. That happened to me at the Shreveport Civic Center. I was preaching a citywide crusade in Shreveport. A 73. I was 20, I was 31. I just walked. She just pushed me in the closet, closed the door. I want a man. It ain't me, baby. Open the door. Freak me out. She said, no, I need you to pray with me. Okay, open the door. Could you see that in the Shreveport Gazette, whatever that newspaper is? 73-year-old woman throwed an evangelist in the closet. And we don't know what went on. I don't think I need that kind of junk. She said, I want a man. I ain't dead. That's another thing I don't want to talk about. I said, okay. I said, Jesus sent her a man. And do you know, I went back to a church in Oklahoma. I found out that she lived in Oklahoma. She came to Shreveport. I went to her church. I didn't know it was her when I saw her. And there was a man on her arm. Turned out to be the richest guy in that town in Oklahoma. And I thought, I walked up there, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. I said, are you strong? He said, yeah, I'm a strong man. I said, you're going to need it, baby. She married that man. Well, the woman was serious. She learned to do well. Now, in my life, at that age, I thought, well, man, you ain't thinking about that. So there's a lot more to learn, isn't it? That's still amazing to me, I think about that. Write this down. We should know more of the Spirit of Christ than the life of Christ. Uh-oh. See, we know a lot about the life of Christ, what he did on the earth, but do you know his Spirit? We should know more of the Spirit of Christ than the life of Christ. You see, growing up in church, they teach you the life of Christ. But they should be teaching you the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 29, he says, learn of me. Not learn of my acts or my actions, but learn of me. You see, but most people today, you go anywhere, they can tell you some things Jesus did. They learned about his life, but they never learned about his Spirit. You see what I'm saying? This is called learning to do well. If you want to learn to do well, you have to learn of his Spirit. Hey, I can do that. That's getting God's attention. Why Jesus did what he did. Why did he heal the blind eyes? Why did he call a preacher a snake, a hypocrite, and a viper? Oh, you can't do that. It's not walking in love. Well, then Jesus didn't walk in love. No, you see, if it's the truth, it's not hearsay. And if it's not, it's not hearsay. You know, it's not criticism if it's the truth. He said, you snake, you hypocrite, you viper. Woo! Love in his purest form is discipline. So we should know more of the Spirit of Christ than just the life of Christ. And when I got born again, I said, I want to know why you did what you did. And you do that through fellowship with God, not just relationship. To learn his Spirit. What does God do? What is his primary job? Romans 4, 17, he called it those things should be not as though they were. Now, what is God? Who is God? What does God, what is God? God is the fruit of the Spirit, Christ, love, joy, peace, long suffering, mercy, grace, temperance. And the Bible says against such, there is no law. Why there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit? Because that is the Spirit of Christ. And when you walk in his Spirit instead of his life, there's no law against you. Isn't that good? Now you think about that. That means you bless those that curse you and pray for those that despitefully use you. I say things against you that are not true. And you can show people evidence and they still won't believe it. So I found out it's no use to try to defend yourself. Just tell the truth and if people won't accept it, then you go on about your business. That's exactly what Jesus said. Well, they looked at him one time and said, what authority you do this? He looked at them and said, what authority you do this? We're not going to tell you, so I ain't telling you neither. Get out of here. You didn't play games with Jesus. Yeah, Jesus went to places nobody ever thought he would go. I mean, my God, he had one man so nervous, it literally drove him up a tree. And that was named Zacchaeus. The Christian world wasn't going to see Zacchaeus. He said, I come to your house today. I come to eat with you, Zacchaeus. Come on down from the tree. And see, Zacchaeus learned that day the Spirit of Christ. He said, I'll return everything. If I took anything, I'll return it fourfold. You see, when you get around the Spirit of Christ instead of the life of Christ, your whole life changes. Oh, let me help you. Your wallet opens up a lot easier when you understand the Spirit of Christ. The reason why me and Kathy give is not only because we get blessed. We understand the Spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If I can get this gospel preached to the world, he will come. The Bible says that. It's in red. Go read it. He said, when the gospel is preached to the world, the end shall come. How many of y'all want to get out of here? You know what's stopping you? Your wallet. Let me help the people watch it. What's stopping is people not giving to the kingdom of God to get the gospel preached to the world. Do you understand that? I know people just think, he just saying that because he's going to receive an offering. He want money. No, I'm saying that, bless God, because it's in red. That's the Spirit of Christ. He created this planet not to be in sin, but it became sin. The Bible said he was made sin. He wasn't made a sinner. See, a lot of people think if you believe Jesus died spiritually, you say, oh, you're saying Jesus was just an old sinner. No, no, he was made sin. He was not a sinner. Jesus never repented. See, a sinner repents. Jesus didn't have to repent. He lived a perfected life. Well, how did he do it? He said he learned of his Father. And you know what? When God sent him as his son, he said, hey, I can do that. See, that's learning to do well. We should know more of the Spirit of Christ than the life of Christ. Write this down. We can never be perfected by abstract knowledge of the truth. Most preaching today, this Sunday, will be abstract knowledge of the truth. We know what God says, but we don't really understand it. So we don't try to do it. You see what I'm saying? You can do something wonderful, and if people don't understand what giving's about, they will criticize it. Oh, he's just doing that to show off. We can never be perfected by abstract knowledge of the truth. You can't. You got to know the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. Not a truth, the truth and the life. So if Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. If he's the life, the devil can't kill you. That's not abstract. One person said, he said, whom the men say that I am, Peter? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one. Watch this. Oh, now that goes against Jewish understanding. The Son of the living God. See, they can't believe God has a son. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Can you hear that popping up in their mind, man? Moses is their man. Moses is their man. Abraham, that's the father of faith. But Moses, oh, buddy, that's the man, the lawgiver. No, he brought the law. The lawgiver was God Almighty. Moses never wrote one commandment. He just got a copy and brought it. Well, actually, he got an original and brought it down the mountain. Now, he'd been up there 40 days. Now, they broke one commandment. He made, well, he's got the 10 commandments and anything. The Israel broke one commandment and Moses got so mad he broke 10. Just threw all, just to bust them all down. Can you imagine God said, fool, we was up here for 40 days. Get your butt back up the mountain. I got to make another set. You see, the church world, if you make a mistake, you may make one mistake, but they'll break the whole tent on you. Don't shout me down. I'm talking about learning to do well. Some people say, you need to just throw that person out. Whoa. What have you done you hadn't been caught? That you hadn't been caught.
All right, come on now.
You know, I'm not against prisoners. Why? Because I never got caught.
All right.
I should have went to jail many times. But thank God. I had a faster car. Maybe a brighter mind than some police. Not all, but maybe some. I don't know. I think the Lord protected me in my ignorance and my stupidity. You know, and I knew a lot about the life of Christ, but it didn't change me. What changed me is when I began to learn about the Spirit of Christ. That's learning to do well. All of a sudden that abstractness began to go away. And I began to say, wait a minute, I want to know some things. One, where did Cain get his wife? For further tapes by Jesse Duplantis, but you know. I want to know if you saw... You sin willfully, there remain no remission of sin. Well, let me just get, I was telling a pastor, Nate, that they was eating it. I couldn't understand how God never made a plan of redemption for Satan. Wow. Wow. Didn't you fall? Yeah. Have you ever sinned? Hold your hand up if you sin. Everybody lift your hand up. Well, he made a plan of redemption for you, didn't he? Yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. Why didn't he make a plan of redemption for Satan? And you know what God said? I thought it was going to be some homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, great theological thought. He said, because he willfully sinned.
I went, what's he say?
Because he willfully sinned. I said, well, Lord, I've willfully sinned. He said, no, you haven't. I said, I think I have. I said, no, no, no. The Bible says in Hebrews, if you willfully sin, there remain no remission of sin for you. Right? Well, I said, man, that just nailed me to the wall because, I mean, I've done something I wasn't supposed to do. How many of y'all did it? Lift your hand up. I ain't by myself. I said, well, I willfully sinned. He said, no, you didn't. I said, well, I thought I did. He said, you have never sinned by yourself. I said, what? What do you mean? He said, you've never sinned by yourself. The Bible says when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Watch this. Right? And when sin hath conceived or finished, it bringeth forth death. Right? He said, Jesse, the difference between you and Satan is you haven't sinned willfully. You had a tempter. He never had a tempter. He never had someone pulling on him to make a mistake. He said, I will exalt myself above the Most High God. I will sit in the congregation of the North. I will cause a riot and a revolution. That's willful sin. Remain no remission of sin for you. You, when you sinned, you had a tempter pulling on you. That's why the unpardonable sin is the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Satan can't tempt you to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That's a spiritual thing. He's spiritually dead. That's why if you commit the unpardonable sin, there's no remission of sin for you. It's unpardonable because you see, you do it willfully, and only a Christian can commit the unpardonable sin. People used to think, oh, I made fun of somebody speaking in tongues. Oh, Jesus, I've committed the unpardonable sin. Pentecost preached that years ago. Then why are you crying after God? Because you see, when you commit the unpardonable sin, your Bible said your conscience is seared with a hot iron. You don't even have any conscience of God. You see that? You got a tempter. He never had a tempter. Let me make it simple. You get a baby and they start learning to walk. Like Junior, your son. And he's going around your coffee table, peeing, and he accidentally grabs something, knock it up. Well, he's a baby. You know what I mean? You know, that's going to happen. They're going to reach out for things. But now Junior, how old is Junior now? What? 31 years old. Now if he walk into you and Ron's house and he go, hey mom, and he just kicked the thing off the coffee table. You say, come here, sucker. I'm going to beat you silly, boy. Well, I'll call 911. We'll bring the coroner with you. That's all I'm going to say about that. Ain't nothing wrong. That's called being daddy. It's called being a parent. Somebody shout over that, will you? In other words, if he comes in and kicks up, wait a minute, he willfully did that. The baby didn't. The baby was tempted. Oh, what's that? None of you have willfully sinned. I used to try to, one time I tried to use this to my advantage. Kathy, the reason why I did it, I wasn't by myself. Nah, sucker. But you see, he willfully sinned. That's why God never made a plan of redemption for him. Isn't that good? I want to know something. Learning to do well. Wait a minute, I don't want to go through my life saying, well, you just never know what God's going to do. You can find out how come people didn't receive a healing. And let me help you. It may not be their fault. It could be yours. Some of y'all didn't shout on that one, did you? It's called learning to do well. Write this down. Through actual obedience, we arrive at perfection of thought and life. Through actual obedience, we arrive at perfection of thought and life. Let me explain that. I've been to the Vatican. I've seen the La Pietà by Michelangelo. I've gazed at the Sistine Chapel. That's an amazing thing. I've seen Raphael tapestry. I've been to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert Museum in London to see some of the treasures that Queen Elizabeth owns, or actually the crown owns. Now watch this. Perfection. The Louvre in Paris, France. Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, etremente. No. I saw perfection, right? But I wonder how many canvases or pieces of marble that Michelangelo went through before he got the La Pietà right. I wonder how many times the greatest artists of that century, the great artists that we have today, how many canvases they throw it away before you seen the real. I wonder how many great books, how many rough copies and rough drafts were done before you saw the perfected thing. Oh, this is good stuff. See, this is learning to do well. Let me just say this. Michelangelo didn't say, okay, here it is. He learned the art of the living stone. What they call the living stone? Marble. He said, I just take away the excess. You see what I'm saying? Through actual obedience, we arrive at perfection of thought and life. You know, you got one of my books today if it's Father's Day. Did you see the gentleman try to give me my book? I said, I wrote it. Do you know how many rough drafts I went through? That was my first book. How many times we had to change things? Now it's perfected. So now when I see a beautiful piece of artwork and I see a beautiful painting, oh Lord, like the gentleman, that picture of just flowers, he committed suicide. Van Gogh. How many canvases did he throw away before he finally got exactly what he wanted? How many bowls of gumbo have you thrown away? Now you got the revelation. Ah, you got it there. See, got to take it down to Cajun land. I think some of y'all are going. I said, let's take it to Cajun land here. How many pieces of barbecue you burn up on the grill before you could get that baby right? So you could be called a supreme barbecuer. Most people just don't hit it right on the first lick. You have to learn to do well. How many boyfriends Kathy went through? Before she found the perfected one. Come on. Hey, glory to God. Y'all got the revelation. All them ugly boys. All them broke, busted kids. I was broke too. But not for very long. Learning to do well. I never wrote that in my notes. I thought that was real good. I enjoyed that myself. I'm going to buy my own tape. I got to hear myself say that. Let me say it again. Through actual obedience, we arrive at perfection of thought and life. Now, watch this. Write this down. Learning to do well doesn't come naturally like evil does. You know, you don't have to learn evil. Because when man fell, when Adam fell before you were born, you fell. He put an evil gene, if you want to put it in the medical terminology, in you. Learning to do well doesn't come naturally like evil does. Make room for Christ in your soul. You see, when I got born again, I had to take the gene out. Why didn't the recession affect me? Because I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. So all my life, I always said, well, you live in a fallen world. You hear that? Reason why your baby died, because you live in a fallen world. It's just trying to get an answer over to some maybe unanswerable question, something that happened in life. Tragedies do happen in life. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. He didn't say, well, you just live in a fallen world. Take the hit. No, whoa. Christianity does that all the time. Well, we don't know, but you know, hey, just keep on, just hang on. Yeah, but you didn't lose the baby. I did. That ain't easy. You see, but evil come naturally. You know who cries out more to release evil than the human race? The vegetable kingdom.
the animal kingdom. Do you know it says that in the scripture? Restore us to our original way. It says that in the scripture. Where? Go find it. It's in there. Think about that. A tree saying, I could grow a lot bigger if I wouldn't be in this corruptible soil. Make me like I was. Think about that. Because this place was perfect. When God walked in the cool of the day with man. And so was he. So when you see that, learning to do well doesn't come naturally like evil. You make room for Christ in your soul. Let me get on that for a second. Let me hurry up. You make room for Christ in your soul, in your mind, your will, your emotion. You let God handle those things. Actually, you receive the dictates from your spirit through your soul to a crucified body. That's how that works. That's a very simple process, but religion has really complicated that. I get, which one of y'all is Tyler? Tyler, how do you know? Y'all look so much alike. I mean, but you're a lot older than Tyler, but you look so much younger. Oh, no, excuse me. Okay. You're the drummer. Yes. No. How do you know when to hit the cymbal? You got it. It's in you.
Yeah.
You're coming down. You know what a downbeat is. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, when the downbeat mess up, the whole thing gets messed up.
Yeah, right.
That's when Steve look at David the Lord and David the Lord look at Steve and the singers go like that. And then, oh my God, man. And the worship leaders, the singers, you know, they don't know what to do. So they go, So we can find out where it's at, baby. Come on. Where the downbeat, baby? Where the downbeat? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But he said, you feel it. It comes natural. You know why? It's a gift. But to learn to do well, I'm not a gambling man, but I'll gamble on it today. When you first started playing drums, you didn't play as good as you did today. Why? Practice. Pattern and power. Write that down. That's not in my notes. The Lord just gave me that. You practice. You have a pattern and you work with power. You see, it didn't just happen. You're learning it. Oh, and watch this. Once you learn it, it's like riding a bicycle. You know it forever. But notice if you don't ride a bicycle for a long time, you get on it, you look a little shaky. But it don't take very long before you know it. Because you see, when you really learn something, it never goes away. Unless a disease attacks it. Like Alzheimer. And Alzheimer's primary function is to stop, is to unlearn your whole life. Am I right, Dr. DeLucci? Just erases. Till you come to a point, I had a doctor tell me this, that you forget to breathe. The brain shuts down. Everything just shuts down. You don't even know who you are. You see, and I don't know of anyone that's ever been around someone with that diabolical curse that it doesn't bring such pain to people's lives. Amen. When your mama look at you and don't even know who you are. Write this down. Persistent effort in the mastering of your difficulties. Persistent effort in the mastering of your difficulties lies at the basis of advancement and success. Let me say it again. Persistent effort in the mastering of your difficulties lies at the basis of advancement and success. Persistent effort. That's learning to do well. Now, write this note on it, right under this point. Without difficulty, there is no display of energy. Write that down. Without difficulty, there is no display of energy. Without temptation, there is no display of self-discipline. Without temptation, there is no display of self-discipline.
Without trials and suffering, there is no display of fortitude and resignation. Without trials and suffering, there is no display of fortitude and resignation. So let me start from the top. Persistent effort in the mastering of your difficulties lies at the basis of advancement and success. Because without difficulty, there is no display of energy. Without temptation, there is no display of self-discipline. Without trials and sufferings, there is no display of fortitude and resignation. Actually, if the devil wouldn't try you, you'd stay a baby. But the trying of your faith worketh patience. Watch this now. And let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect in its time. Watch this. Wanting that. That means you're beyond need. You never have to ask God for a need. Now you get all you want. If Satan would leave people alone, they'd go to hell by themselves. He's actually pushing people toward God because of his hatred. Now, let me say this over. I know I gave you a lot of those words, so you can write it down. Persistent effort in the mastering of your difficulties lies at the basis of advancement and success. That's learning to do well. Without difficulty, there is no display of energy. Without temptation, there is no display of self-discipline. And without trials and sufferings, there is no display of fortitude and resignation. Because, see, a trial made me stronger. I didn't enjoy it. But a fight you want, a fight you're going to get. It gave me fortitude. It gave me resignation. I made up my mind. You see what I'm saying? That's why God used Isaiah way before any of us were born. Tell him to learn to do well. And that's why Jesus said, learn of me. Just don't learn of my acts. Learn about my spirit instead of my life. You see what I'm saying? Can I say the same thing about Jesse the Planet? If you like me, learn of my spirit. You should know my spirit. Don't learn of my acts. Quit. My house is nice. My car's nice. My plane's nice. Okay. But that's not Jesse the Planet. That's not you, what you possess. You leave that all with you if you go to heaven. You leave that all here. But you take your spirit with you. Amen. You are the one that spirit's going to walk them golden streets. Not the house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And I have one more thought. Self-denial is another word for learning to do well. You got to learn to tell yourself no. And your flesh will scream. I just can't seem to quit smoking them cigarettes. Oh, yeah, you can. Because when it pulls on you after you finish eating. Now, remember, you slept 8 hours without taking a puff. But it's waiting on you to wake up. You reach over for them cigarettes. Okay, some of y'all don't smoke. But you can't live without a cup of coffee. Kathy gets up. One leg goes to the bathroom. The other one goes to the coffee pot. Straight for that coffee pot. Oh, God. Oh, I got to have that coffee. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's controlling you. You're on a diet, and a piece of chicken is talking to you from the refrigerator. Huh? We've all been there. I have a theater in my home. It's hard to watch a movie without popcorn. You know, you can, you know. But you're like this while you're watching. And you're just waiting for somebody to yield to temptation. Would you like some popcorn or ice cream? Yes! And then after you get fat on, you go, it wasn't my fault. They offered, and the Bible said, eat what's set before you. Kathy used to struggle with charge cards.
One time, she was sleeping, man. I put my hand on. I said, come out, you devil. And MasterCard and American Express. Visa, come. No, I'm just joking. Oh! Self-denial is another word for learning to do well. You really grow when you can tell yourself no. And usually when you say no, the Lord says you can have it. Because now it's not controlling you anymore. I had to do something. Let me close again. I love guns. Knives. I have a phenomenal collection of knives. Ooh, beautiful knives. Guns. Okay, I can have them now. Now, years ago, I went slap crazy over guns. I had match sets. I had Brownings made in Belgium instead of Japan. If you're a gun person, you know what I'm talking about. I had over and under Satori. I had a complete match set, 12-gauge over and under Satori, 16-gauge Browning made in Belgium. No, a 20-gauge and a 16-gauge. What's the next one? A 410? 410s. I mean, I had the whole complete set, match sets. Weatherby rifles. Gotta have the Weatherby. Man, you know, I'm talking a lot of money. Guns. And I remember, I tell you what, man, I always looking for a gun. Man, somebody got a gun. Yeah, I'll buy it. What you got? Pistols. Man, I had my own army. In terms of, you know, the kind of, I collected them. I didn't shoot many of them. Kathy couldn't get over it. I don't understand why you want to go out there and shoot that gun. And we went camping one time and I brought my .357 Magnum. And I brought me two big bottles of, I ain't gonna name the water company, but you know them big plastic bottles? Them empty ones, and I fill it up with water. I said, now, Kathy, I want you to shoot that. I don't want to shoot that. I said, just hold it. I said, now hold it with two hands. This thing gonna kick on you, understand? Boom, she shot. And that bottle of water, boom, went and blew up. She said, give me another bullet. Wow. Boy, she just got into that. Oh, man, we blowing them, we're busting it. Seen that water in that bucket, that bottle just blew up. And I was walking by my collection one time. I was like Nebuchadnezzar. All the things I have collected and I have done. I'm going to be honest with you. I got in the flesh over them guns. And I looked at that. And I said, I have displeased you, Lord. I had to learn to do well. I said, I would never tell myself no. And thank God I made enough and a little money. I could buy my collection. Nothing wrong buying guns. Don't misunderstand. But I'm going to show you. I went to the extreme. And another thing with cowboy boots. I had the finest cowboy boots you could ever wear. I had every kind of pair you could think of. And I said, I have displeased you. Not that I couldn't have them, but I got in the flesh over them. So I unlocked. Dr. Delocha unlocked my gun cabinet. And I slid the glass back. And I touched that match set, which is a lot of money. And I said, you will no longer control me. And I began to give them away. And I had so many people that wanted to receive. Especially those Brownings made in Belgium. You don't see that anymore. I gave them all away. I gave all the boots away. I said, I'll not be controlled by a substance. That's just like drinking. And I gave them, did I want to? No. But I wanted to learn to do well. Hey, I can do that. I said, I will not let this go before me and God anymore. Because, I mean, I worshiped that. I mean, I wasn't on my knees, but I mean, I had that on my mind, son. And I must have never did collect anymore for what? Maybe what? 5, 7, maybe 8 years. I didn't have touched one of them. I started wearing shoes. Stuff like that. And, I said, yeah. And then one day, the Lord said, Jesse, you can have your guns if you want to collect them. You can have your knives. You can have your boots. Thou hast done well. But you know, I had to go through that so I could understand what self-discipline was. I had to have self-denial so I could understand what it was. So now, I got knives that'll blow you away. I got boots, Lord Jesus. They make a Louis Vuitton purse look like a A&P grocery bag. I got guns, and I can handle them. Sometimes I'm going to hunt with them. I just go look at them once in a while because I learned to do well. I never forget the first time I wanted a Rolex. I said, Lord, can I have a Rolex? He said, here you go, you little flesh creature. Now I have a collection of Rolexes because I learned to do well. When I got to a point in my life that I decided I would live in a treehouse, I didn't care what I lived in. I'm preaching the gospel. God gave me a mansion. Amen. Amen. That's why I don't get mad if you criticize me. Because I conquered that mansion years ago. Yes. Don't get mad at me if I'm a man of substance. Because I gave all my money away. Have you?
Come on.
Have you ever given every dime you ever had? Ooh, cleaned out? Nothing? You ain't got zero. I've done that. Not bragging on that. But you see, I had to learn to control money instead of money controlling me. Amen. And then God began to bless me. People come up to me, give me money, $1,000. Not a lot of money. Just put it in your hand. I walk down a hotel corridor, me and Kathy, and the guy says, could you come in for a second? I don't even, whoa, you know, you don't want to go in somebody's hotel room. Could you come in and say, I just felt led the Lord to do it for some crazy reason. It was in California. So I just stepped in his room. He said, the Lord told me to give you this and gave me $10,000 in cash. He said, I've been saving this for a long time. I just been wanting to bless you. You have blessed me and my family. So I said, you don't have to do that. He said, oh, yes, I do. I said, okay. I realized I would have hurt his feelings. You know what? I didn't even need the $10,000. I never even wanted the $10,000. I never even thought of it. It never crossed my mind. How many times people would give me money on my birthday? Remember that? And I would give it to y'all, Roy. Am I correct? I'd go preach the, my birthday is July the 9th. And they used to have the West Coast Believers Convention. And Roy and a bunch of the road guys would come. Lewis would with me too, I guess. Sometime. And somebody would give me $400 or $500. I'd go, that's such a blessing. And I'd call Roy and the boys. I said, look, the Lord has blessed me. And I want to make it a twice on seed. This person, this meant a lot to them. And I think I can get a greater harvest for them if I bless you guys. Did I do that, Roy? Yes. Not bragging on that. I could have used that money because everybody else was out shopping. Am I telling the truth? I was the only one not shopping. Well, I gave all my money to Roy. You know, he never told Merritt. That's my... Merritt didn't know nothing about that. Somebody walked up to Roy. He met her in California. He said, how did you get that beautiful woman? Roy said, I caught her in a weak moment. I said, no, I don't think so. I just called love. I put it together. So you learn to do well. Did you enjoy it this morning?